Welcome to the Reading Cove Podcast, Episode 11. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For November, we're chatting about A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan. Okay, so I am Millennia, the co-founder, and I live in Florida.
And I'm Roberta, and I'm one of the co-moderators of The Cove, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia area.
And we are here to discuss The Cove's November pick, our 132nd pick, A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan, which was chosen by you, Roberta.
That's right.
And we've gotten a lot of mixed reviews on it from the other members of the group. I myself couldn't finish it, but why don't you start off letting us know how you liked it?
Okay, well, it was different from what I expected. I had, picked it along with some other ones that we voted on. This was the winner, though sometimes, people don't really know too much, even from reading reviews, as I didn't, until you get into it.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I'm intrigued. I haven't read all the Pulitzer Prize winners by a long shot, but I've read a good many of the ones in recent years. So I thought, well, this will be a good way to read this and then get other people's feedback and ideas on that.
Yeah.
Now, this one, just like a couple years ago, I read The Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde that won the Pulitzer, and it was quite different from most of your earlier Pulitzers, because the whole idea, I didn't realize till a couple years ago, that the Pulitzer, the whole criteria of winning it is the book is supposed to, embody the American experience. Well, in recent mm-hmm. time, the American experience is different from what it was once upon a time.
Right.
So if you look back at some of the early Pulitzer Prize winners, they're fairly conservative, I think, middle-of-the-road books, especially like Gone with the Wind or To Kill a Mockingbird, ones that have become perennial favorites.
Right.
Now, I don't know some of, this book or even some of the more recent ones that'll be remembered years from now as the other earlier ones were. But I think I like the idea, well, I can try this one out, but this, I felt, as in many award winners, a lot of time the books that win the awards, it's more about, nowadays, it's more about style
rather
than story or substance. So this was a much more challenging read, but I could relate to it, even though it was a challenge, since it certainly didn't flow in any sort of order. It went back and forth in time, and sometimes you weren't even quite sure where you were unless someone made a topical reference. So it was challenging, but in the long run, I did like it. I did like making the effort to read it because it was something different from what you would usually
read. Yeah.
And it kind of did look at the American experience, especially in the past 40 to 50 years. And I looked at the music business and how people were affected by that. And nowadays, with iTunes and all these other things, the music business is nothing like what these people lived through and what they did. At least from the outside, it doesn't look that way. So it's a peek back at history, of recent history, and people's attitudes and feelings about their lives, and these people, these different varied characters, how the times and what their perspective changed over time. So it was challenging, but it was worth the effort. And then as I read in some of these things, I didn't want to be too jaded by other people's reviews, but the a lot of people said the most interesting thing was the section that was written all in PowerPoint. So that was certainly different. I know you had talked about recently with the book that had been read, the bonus book that had been written in epistolatory style letter form.
Yeah.
That's a departure and different. So seeing something in PowerPoint was sort of like the letter form. You think, well, this is interesting. This is different from what I expected. But it kind of gave a different twist to the whole rather unusual story.
Yeah, I didn't get that far into it. I read part A because it was like A and B.
Right.
And I got to part B and I just couldn't force myself to read anymore. I just wasn't interested. I was interested in Sasha in the beginning and Benny.
Right.
Their parts were interesting. Sasha with her, being a kleptomaniac and
getting help for it, and then Benny and his issues. And it was off to a good start. But then when it switched to Rhea and some of these other characters, her section, Rhea's section, didn't even have quotation marks.
Right.
And I was just like, that annoyed me. And then the next section after her section, I forget who it was about, but like you read a good way in and you don't know even know who's talking. You don't know whose story you're reading about until like way in. And then I just wasn't interested in these people. It was just a bunch of blah, 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 blah to me. And I just thought, okay, I hate giving up on the Cove pick. You know that.
Right,
I always
right.
try to stick it out even just
sure.
because it's the Cove pick and I want us to be able to talk about it with everybody, but I couldn't. There was just no interest in what was going on. I just thought, okay, forget this. And it just felt like nonsense. I mean, I could like I said in an email before, I could appreciate the back and forth and the, the quote unquote work to read it and follow it, the different style more if these people seemed more interesting to me, but they were so blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah. And I think I don't know if you'd read the other email yet, but I think part of the thing I had said that maybe that was part of the thing too, that some of these characters came off as not as interesting because they were all rather flawed in one way or another. And most of them, if you did read or later on, with the different stories, they do tell you a little bit more about what happens to them, more or less, most of them. And things never quite turned out for them as they expected. Things turned out different probably from what they anticipated,
right.
More for the bad than the good, unfortunately. But I guess that's life too, that you don't anticipate what's going to, what things are going like for you at 20 or 30, how it's going to be when you get middle age or old age or whatever. So,
yeah, but I think them being flawed really doesn't have anything to do with it. I think most of the books we read have flawed characters.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just, I guess if I don't find it interesting, if I'm not curious to know what they're telling me about, and what's happening with them, then it loses me it completely.
Well, like I said, I think, probably a lot of people agreed with you, because the review I had read after finishing the book, that even the author had said in one interview that the book had come out and it sort of, as she put it, tanked. So I don't think it really caught on with the general public so much to start with.
Right.
But more the critics liked it because they thought, oh, well, this is something, really different from the usual thing. And I had read her book, The Keep, though I could not tell you much of anything about it because it's been too many books ago.
Right.
But even it was not your normal format. That's the main thing that sticks out to me. So I think
she likes to write in a unique or non-traditional style.
Correct.
And
that's
great, because I'm like, sure, I've read a lot of good reviews for this book, so
right.
That works for a lot of people, and that's fine. That's we need that. So I can appreciate that aspect of it, and I'm glad you liked it, because I always say, as long as one member likes it, it wasn't a wasted pick, right?
right. So though I've had some other ones that even I thought, what was I thinking? But who knew?
You
read these blurbs or these good reviews, and then they lead you astray down the wrong path.
Yeah.
And looking at also in some of these other reviews and things, I was thinking about too. I was sort of surprised, but maybe because it was more traditional, that about the same time that this book came out, and one that was sort of in contention for the Pulitzer was Jonathan Franzen's last book, Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to that one not long after it came out, and he's one of those authors, you're either going to like him or you're going to be bored to tears too.
Oh gosh.
But he's more of a traditional, his more of a traditional thing, but his was the more traditional conservative type thing, more in the style, say maybe of John Updike or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
And hers was more untraditional thing. So I'm thinking that I'm sure he was quite disappointed, but probably the people that picked these prizes out saw hers as the more, as they call it, like postmodern type novel, whereas his fit more in the traditional mode. And it seems as though some of these recent Pulitzer Prize winners are less traditional. They're not going along with the traditional style of writing. So, right. As I said, some of these ones, I've read not so much the Pulitzer, but a couple of these other, national book type awards. I sort of gotten the feeling, like you, afterwards, I read a little bit of it. I think, this may have won a prize, but it's just not winning the prize for me.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. And you know me, I don't give up on too many books, but life is too short. And if it's just not grabbing me after 50, 100 pages, then.
Yeah. And with the Cove pick, I don't need to cut you off. Sorry. I always try to give it 100 pages at least.
Sure.
Before I just even think about not finishing it. But yeah, I this one just wasn't my cup of.
Well, no, and as you said, that it really, even on these other reviews, it really was the type of book people either really liked it or they really wanted to throw it up against the wall just a bit. So,
yeah, because I think, is there anybody else that finished it? Joyce finished it, but I don't think liked it very much.
No, I don't think she gave it a real good review. I haven't seen a whole lot from her other than she said, oh, sorry, I can't participate in the podcast with my app. My work hours, and I certainly can understand that.
Yeah,
but.
I think she had when she read it, I think I remember her saying, it wasn't all that, she didn't care for it that much. I'm not sure. But I know everyone else, no, they didn't finish it. Allie, Robin, I think. I don't know if Robin's still reading it. Cheryl.
Cheryl only gave it about 10 pages. So.
Yeah.
So you hung in there much longer than she
did. I did. I read the whole part A. And some other people who, Nancy gave up on it. And Nancy never gives up on anything.
And then unfortunately, a few people, as I know from things before, that they just couldn't get it because it's a lot of places, I guess a lot of book groups are still doing it.
Yeah.
And there's hard to get hold of it if you're depending on your library.
Library
to get it for you.
Yeah.
My even face-to-face book group that we've decided next year we have to go with older books or ones in paperback because a couple of our members have picked out books that we didn't realize how difficult they were going to be able to find. There weren't any good deals like on the Amazon Marketplace, which is sad. It helps the booksellers, but it just doesn't help the rest of us too much if you have to spend too much money to
get a book.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you want to share about it? Did you have a favorite character?
Well,
for fans of the book.
I like probably my favorite section of the whole book is I like the part with Benny and Stephanie when they had moved to Crandale.
Mm-hmm.
You read that part, right?
Crandale. It was the spa.
A country club. Yeah, they moved to Crandale, and then they got to be in the Crandale Country Club.
Yeah. I remember that part.
And I thought that was funny because those people, at first, they just wouldn't even hardly give them a look. And then they got in the country club, and these people found out that they at least had money or part of this rock promotion business. So all of a sudden, they were a little bit more friendly to them. But I thought these people were more like the Stepford-type people because they even had those matching towels that they never had to have. So these people are just a little bit too uptight and anal. Here are these people that were former rockers and tried to fit into a more calm, civilized society, not the wild parties and drugs and sex, drugs and rock and roll. They were trying to become mainstream society.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were probably crazier than the people they had dealt with in the music business. So that was probably my favorite section. I thought that was, really funny that they had to deal with these crazy people that part of the country club set. And then I did like the beginning part with Sasha and her kleptomania.
Yeah, that I would say that was my favorite part. And Benny and his gold in his coffee.
And his gold flakes. Oh, yeah, like, what is this?
And then he had his son taking it. His son's like, give me some more.
I mean, that was pretty
crazy. Funny.
That he thought this was going to be the gold cure. I thought, well, people fall for anything, as we see from all these these commercials on TV or these internet schemes to get people to buy stuff. But
yeah,
they're pretty funny. And I don't think you read far enough along. The really sad part towards the end is Lou, that he got really sick and was dying. And he was just really a shadow of him, his former self. And these women that had thought he was, you know, all hot stuff before, they realized that, you know, his life hadn't been any better than theirs. That everybody in the end has to deal with their mortality and
wow.
deal with aging and infirmity and everything. So that was a sad part. But the other parts I thought were kind of pretty funny.
Yeah.
Benny and his situations, he was probably the funniest character of the whole stories, all the stories to me. It's always good to explore different options and different styles. So
yeah, and I liked what you said this morning about your the interpretation of the title about
right.
time, the goon being time.
So yeah, that's what they're saying and that was part of what the author said too in an interview, but. That's what I took out of it, that she had said that that when people were asking about the goon squad, that time is a goon, and these people too, that they the visit they had from the goon squad wasn't always real good, and she that, you know, they weren't happy with the way things, the time had visited them on their lives. And what was interesting too, in an interview she had said that she was more influenced by both Proust, which strange because that's a, you know, of course that's a very literary type series he had written, and then also The Sopranos. Now I never watched The Sopranos, but when you think, that's what I thought first when I was getting the book, this might have something to do with gangsters and everything, because that's what you think, the goon squad or thugs,
right.
And so, but apparently she has some influence in them. I'm sorry to say I wasn't up with pop culture, and I just never watched The Sopranos.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
I mean, I might know a little bit, because some of these TV shows, you just can't get away from them. They're so much part of the culture that you may know bits or pieces of it, whether you care to or not. But in this case, that it was more that the time was the goon, and it visited these people in very unexpected ways for them, and not in happy ways for most of them. Though, towards the end, it seemed like, of all people, Sasha had the best life in the long run of anybody, of all the characters. Things turned out okay for her, differently from what you would have expected from her earlier life.
All right, well, that's our discussion of A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan. Thank you everyone for listening, and please continue to leave us your comments. We really appreciate hearing your thoughts. And next month we will be discussing Divergent by Veronica Roth, which I'm excited to try.
Me too.
Okay, bye everyone.
Bye.